Good morning. I think I have a message from God this morning. The title that I have is I Will Be Truly Healed. And I can hardly believe we just sang that song. Mm-hmm. I was going to talk about that song some. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Verse 38 to 41. And I have my New Living Translation here. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's house where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. "Please heal her," everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever and it left her. And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Many were possessed by demons, and demons came out at his command, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. He's just the same today. I'm sorry, I'm not sure if I can talk. Thank you. found a verse in Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 14. In verse 13, it says that God is the fountain of living water. And then it says, O Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. So I think I'm just going to look at what I had. There's a illustration that Jesus used about the outside and the inside of the cup. And I guess we're just going to use that illustration. The outside would be the physical, and the inside would be your hearts, our hearts and our feelings. So I think I'm just going to talk a little bit about the inside here. Why do we need healing? And the reason we need healing is because we were created to live in a perfect world. And that sounds a little different. We're so used to people saying, well, it's not a perfect world. But God created us to be in a perfect world. And our hearts aren't made to hear hurtful words. And to have broken relationships. And we weren't made to have to go through the pain of losing a loved one. And we weren't made to deal with fear. And sin. I'm sorry I can't talk this morning. But
I wanna pray for you, because I believe sometimes when we're up here, like I've done this stuff, and you know it's difficult because there's nervousness, there's also the enemy telling you know you can't do it. So let's do a prayer for the brother here. Father God, in this moment, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, all together, all the church, we're together here praying. Father, we ask you that you can help my brother feel that we all children of God, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to you know, tell us in our minds that we can't. You know, sometimes the devil tries to do that, but he's a liar. He's a liar, and he's a father of lies. And we are children of God, and my brother is a son of God, and I'm sure that there's beautiful things here in this paper that he has for us. So we ask you, Father, that you can break anything that is bothering him, anything that is in the air right now, Father. We ask you for a clean atmosphere around my brother. Break every chain in Jesus' mighty name. We ask you, Father, that you can open his mouth, because yes, he can speak. He can talk, because he's your son. And you gave him all these abilities, and you gave him all this... All this power, the power of Christ, is in him. It's in us, Father. Because we are your children, Father. And the devil comes and tells us the otherwise. He tells, oh, no, you can't. You know, this and that, the other. That's a bunch of lies. Because we are your children, Father God. So I give you thanks, because I know that today I'm going to learn something from my brother. He's going to speak a word. And that will bless me and every brother and every sister in this church. In Jesus' name, brother. Yes, you can do it. And it's going to be all right, because you're a son of God. Nothing to be afraid. Nothing to be afraid. We all been in this situation, but it's going to be all right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Yes, brother, you can do it. That's fine. And yeah, it's all a bunch of lies from the enemy, brother.
Thank you.
You're a son of God. You can do it.
Thanks.
That's right. So yeah, I mean, we don't mind. If you want to go from the beginning, that's fine.
Okay.
Right? What does the church say? Amen? Amen. We love you, brother. Nothing to fear. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
So we had a job at the shop where we're working with metal a lot. Last couple of weeks here, and so I have this big leather welding jacket. I like to put my leather welding jacket on and get some gloves, and that's the only way you can really work with metal, and you know, without getting cut and all that. And but yeah, for our hearts, yeah, it doesn't seem that there is really much that will protect us from hurtful words and all that, but there is a few things that help a lot. If we understand someone that tells you you're no good, what's actually going on there is they're an insecure person, and they think of themselves as less than you are, and they don't want you to feel that you're above them. So if you understand that they actually think of themselves as less than you, for me, that doesn't hurt near as bad when you understand what's going on in their heart. So I thought of an illustration. If a dad slams a door on his son's arm, and he was just in a hurry and slammed the door on his son's arm, and the door didn't latch, and the dad sees that his son, he'll get out of the door by himself, but the dad feels really bad, and he goes over somewhere in another room, and he just hangs his head in shame, and he just asks God to help him not to be that way and stuff. But what hurts worse, the hurt arm or that the dad doesn't want to recognize that, right, that he hurt his son? And I think that's the same way in some of our relationships, is that it seems like stuff like that happens sometimes, but if the dad could be willing to admit his mistakes, and I think it would help a lot. And I think we should try to be aware of how people feel, and do what we can in situations where there's hurt. There was a situation where I was in where there were some men and boys standing in a group laughing and joking and everything, and this man told a boy that he's lazy. And later when I got a chance, it was a boy that I knew pretty good, and I told him, you're not lazy. That man was probably just joking, but he doesn't know you as good as I know you, and I told this boy that you're not lazy. And it seemed like it helped him a little bit. Bitterness is like infection. We can't hang on to bitterness. It just gets worse. We can be healed so much faster if we give our hurts to God. That's when we can be healed. And it doesn't take near as long as sometimes if we just give God everything. That be like if someone has a broken leg and they refuse to go to the doctor, that his leg's getting worse. One thing that bothers me, sometimes you see people, like they might be sitting in church and there's a good message that you know, I mean, it seems like it should help them, but somehow it seems like they've heard so many times and it doesn't speak to them anymore or something. So I want to encourage people to listen to what God's saying, and there's nothing, there's no hurt too deep, and there's God can heal you even if you've had it for years and years. I like the song, "Just As I Am, Poor, Wretched, Blind." And then it says that we can find in Jesus sight, riches, healing of the mind. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed His powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about His appearance, nothing to attract us to Him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet He never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, He did not open His mouth. Unjustly condemned, He was led away. No one cared that He died without descendants, that His life was cut short in midstream, but He was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, and He never deceived anyone, but He was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush Him and cause Him grief. Yet when His life is made an offering for sin, He will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in His hands. When He sees all that is accomplished by His anguish, He will be satisfied. And because of His experience, my righteous servant will make it possible. For many to be counted righteous, for He will bear all their sins. I will give Him the honors of a victorious soldier. Because He exposed Himself to death, He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. That, what we read there, is the cross of Jesus. In the cross is where we find true healing for our hearts and souls. Zechariah 14, 6 through 8. On that day, the sources of light will no longer shine. Yet there will be continuous day. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. There will be no normal day and night, for at evening time it will still be light. On that day, life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half toward the Dead Sea and half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously in both summer and winter. And that's talking about the future, that life-giving water. But we serve the same God right here today. So I guess that's all I have. God bless you.